As our Nafisi, the number one New York Times bestselling author of Reading Lolita in Tehran, is here to tell us about her new book, The Republic of Imagination, America in Three Books. 10 years ago, she wrote Reading Lolita in Tehran, which told the story of how she taught American literature to eager students in Iran, revealing how fiction can be a liberating force in a totalitarian society. Blending memoir with close readings of her favorite novels, including Mark Twain's The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, Sinclair Lewis's Babbitt, and Carson McCullers's The Heart is a Lonely Hunter. She describes how she first discovered America in its fictional landscape as a young girl in Tehran and reminds us of the crucial role that literature plays in the lives, not only played the lives in our founding fathers, but continues to play a part in our lives. It's a pleasure to welcome Azar Nafisi to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
A delight to have you. Am I correctly pronouncing your name?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Good. A sigh of relief on my part. I love this book. It is it's really an incredible story and beautifully told, as was your first book, of course. At what point did you start to think about it in these terms of America and what you learned about America through literature?
Well, my first experience with America, as I mentioned in the book, was when I was very young, and my father would tell me stories, and he was very democratic about it. So he would begin with our Persian epic story stories from our epic poet Ferdowsi, move on to Little Prince from France, Pinocchio from Italy, and books from America. Wizard of Oz was the first book I through which I learned about America, and well, it was such a fantastic world, because at the heart of a desert, you all of a sudden had this amazing world of Oz, and that book was about self-independence. It was about Dorothy and her friends learning that they do not need to, rely on a superpower to help them, that they are their own best help. So when I came, and that continued, then I read Saul Bellow and Zora Neale Hurston and Melville, etc., and I had an imaginary map of America before I even landed in America, finally. And later on, I realized how those books had created both what, in my mind, is ideal America, and as well as the critique that I had of the real America.
As I mentioned, the subtitle of the book is America in Three Books, but there is a fourth book that is very much a part of what you're writing about here, and that is James Baldwin's Another Country.
Yes. Yes. I wanted to end when I came to the conclusion that I'm going to begin my book with Mark Twain's Huckleberry Finn, I already sort of was pretty sure that I'm going to end the book with James Baldwin and Another Country, not Another Country, but Go and Tell It on the Mountain, because of the fact that in that book, I think Baldwin, like Twain, creates a new character, a new perspective on what it means to be an American. And he also creates a new language out of the Negro spirituals, out of the language of Bible, and out of the language of his favorite writers, like Henry James and Charles Dickens. And Twain also created a new reality, and through that reality, new characters and a new language. And I felt that Baldwin was a very fitting end to a book that began with Twain.
As you mentioned, you start off with Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, and the first part of the book is entitled Huck. How much were you able to put that book and that writing into context of knowing that that is a part of American life that is very singular and geographical and also time sensitive?
Well, you know, the interesting thing about a great book like Huck is that it is universal. I mean, it is very singular, as you say, because the landscape in that book, the kind of language he uses, all of them are American, and they belong to a specific region in America. I think the miracle of Huck Finn is the way he takes something very particular and regional, and he turns it into something very universal. So, for example, a young girl who has never left the Islamic Republic of Iran can completely connect with Huck and Jim because of the fact that it is a novel about the conquest of heart, and it is a novel of becoming your own person and becoming moral, not through the dictums of the so-called civilized and respectable society, but through your own experiences and through your own heart.
I was curious I thought it was interesting in reading this book, because in making that transition from Huckleberry Finn to Sinclair Lewis's Babbitt, you talk basically about how this is a character that's kind of a grown-up Huck Finn.
I felt that Sinclair Lewis himself was a character that was a grown-up Huck Finn.
Yes.
Sinclair Lewis, was so isolated within his own respectable society. He could never conform, and he was so restless. As you know, he died in Rome, and all his life he couldn't stay at a home. He was constantly on the move. And his Babbitt is very interesting, because Babbitt becomes a sort of anti-Huck. And Babbitt is the kind of dominant mindset that we see being preached to us today through some of our policymakers or through media, the kind of mindset that is looking towards only the material aspect of this country and calling it, all American. Even the language he uses, the way he talks about people who work for him, who deserve more raise, as moochers, and lectures them, do you want to be a great patriotic American, or do you want to just mooch around and not work? It reminds me of job creators and the takers, you know. Babbitt also is very American, and it shows the conformist aspect of America, which Huck tried to escape from.
And very different, very, very different from Main Street, really.
Very different from?
From Main Street, from Sinclair Lewis's Main Street.
Oh, yes, it is different from Sinclair Lewis's Main Street. It is amazing that Sinclair Lewis wrote about every aspect of American society. He has a novel about a small town or village in America and the idea of conformity. It has Babbitt. And then you have his novels about race, his novels about women's liberation. You know, he covered a whole range. Some of them are not very good novels, but he was very sensitive towards these issues within the American society.
And then what brought you to Carson McCullers?
Well, there is this fantastic talk that Mark Twain gives on the anniversary of the Mayflower, and he tells what he calls the Mayflower tribe, the fact that you deprived me of my ancestors, and he counts his ancestors. He goes through Native Americans, through the Quakers, the witches, and ends with the slaves, and he says that these are all my ancestors, because I am a many-shaded, exquisite mongrel, which is a fantastic description of what it means to be American, because you come from so many different places and shades. And I felt that in Carson McCullers, she talks about the issue of loneliness, isolation of all these many-shaded mongrels, because she has all the marginals within a small city, who are only who are so alone and isolated that they cannot even communicate with one another or with the world, that the only person they communicate with is a deaf person who does not hear them. But one saving grace for these people is the fact that each of them has a passion. Each of them, as McCullers says, wants to give something to the world. And that is the glimmer of hope for the marginals, for those who are isolated and lonely within the society, that through their passion, maybe they can connect. Through their passion, they will find a voice.
As we wrap up, talk a little bit about the Republic of Imagination, of how you imagine that place.
You know, Republic of Imagination to me is a, sort of like a community of readers. I think in a sense it's the most democratic republic because it transcends nationality or gender or race or ethnicity or religion. Anyone, you don't need a passport to come into this republic. All you need is to come into this republic with your passion. And I feel that this sort of a connection, which is based on two of the greatest human impulses, which is curiosity, this urge to want to know other people, to go out of yourself and to explore, is part of the identity of this republic. And the other one is empathy, the ability to put yourself in other people's places, in other people's minds, and empathize with them. A great novel represents the voices of all characters, including the villain. And I think that that is true democracy, when you have to understand even your enemy and understand and go under his or her skin.
It's such a beautiful book. It is The Republic of Imagination, America in Three Books. It is published by Viking. Azar Nafisi, thank you so much for being
thank
with us this morning.
Much.
A great pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, the title of the book, The Republic of Imagination. The book is published by Viking. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.